Good evening, and welcome to tonight's monthly teleconference. All lines are currently in a listen-only mode. During the presentation, we will conduct several question and answer sessions. If you would like to ask a question, press 1 on your touch-tone keypad. Please try to ask questions that are general in nature and that might appeal to the larger group. Once your question is asked, your line will be remuted. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Carol Chapka, Program Manager for the National MS Society Oregon Chapter. Carol, you may now begin.
Thank you all so much for registering for our National MS Society West Region Teleconference Program. We're excited to have so many of you on the call with us this evening. This teleconference is one of many free and helpful chapter programs and services available to people living with MS. From self-help groups to financial assistance to advocacy and more, we are here to help and partner with you. Whether you're a person living with MS, a friend, or caregiver, the National MS Society is here to connect you to the information and resources you need. Contact us by calling 1-800-344-4867 and press option 1. Following this evening's teleconference, you will receive a program evaluation by email, which we urge you to complete as your feedback and ideas are very important to us. Within that email, you will also receive information about our upcoming teleconference programs and other resources. Many people with MS have difficulties with balance. Current research is beginning to help us understand the root causes of imbalance and falls in MS. During this interactive teleconference this evening, you will receive suggestions on how to optimize your balance and minimize your risk of falling from our featured guest speaker, Dr. Michelle Cameron. Dr. Cameron is a neurologist at the Portland VA Medical Center and an assistant professor in the Department of Neurology at Oregon Health and Science University. Dr. Cameron provides clinical care to people with MS and related disorders at the VA MS Center of Excellence West in Portland and focuses her research on balance and falls in people with MS. She is also involved with a number of clinical trials of MS treatments. Before pursuing her training as a physician and as a neurologist, Dr. Cameron was a renowned physical therapist. She has written textbooks on physical therapy and still lectures on physical therapy topics throughout the United States and abroad. Again, I thank all of you for being on the call this evening and would like to hand it off to Dr. Michelle Cameron. You may begin, Dr. Cameron.
Thank you, Carol. Well, it's exciting to be here, and I understand there are a lot of people on this call, so I hope I can give you some useful information. First of all, though, along with thanking you, the audience, I'd like to thank Carol Chalka and the Oregon Chapter of the National MS Society for inviting me to speak, and also would like to thank OHSU, the Portland VA, and the VA Research and Rehabilitation Service who fund my research, and all the participants in the research that I've done that we'll speak about a little today. Participants both with and without MS who really help us learn a lot more about what's going on. So I'll spend this evening with sort of three sections of speaking and three opportunities for questions. I'll start by speaking about the research that we have on imbalance and falls in people with MS. What do we know about how many people with MS fall? What is a fall and how do we look at this? I'll take a little time for questions and then we'll look at what are the causes of falls in people with MS and particularly the causes about you, about the person. Because some of those causes of falls have to do with the person and some of those causes have to do with things outside you, your home, things you do. After we've looked at some of those causes, we'll take another little break for questions. And then we'll spend the last section of my talk looking at changes you can make in your world, things outside you that may help you have a reduced risk for falls and improve your balance. And we'll end with a little bit of time on if you do happen to fall, how to get up from a fall safely. And then I'll allow some time for questions again at the end. Do feel free to bring up those questions as we go along, though. Don't try to save them all for the end. All righty. So what do we mean when we talk about a fall? It gives you all sorts of different definitions. I just sort of for research purposes like to clarify when we talk about falling, we're talking about somebody who makes, as they define it, an unintentional change in position resulting in coming to rest on the ground or at a lower level. Why is that important? Just as we look at who falls and who doesn't, are we all talking about the same thing? We're really focused on something you didn't mean to do, so it's not just that you chose to go to the floor and be there, but something that you didn't mean to have happen that meant that you ended up either on the floor or somewhere lower than you started. Some other definitions, balance and imbalance. When we talk about balance, what we're dealing with in the body is keeping your center of mass, so your body weight, over the base of support, i.e. between your feet. So you need to keep that center of weight between your feet. If it falls outside there, you will inevitably fall over. And then why do we care? Why do falls matter? Probably most of you are very clear about why falls matter to you. Falls can result in injury, and we know that people with MS do get injured by their falls, although not all that often, but they reduce people's participation and independence. They really limit the things you can do. People become frightened of falling, they lose confidence, and then they do less and less and less. And then, of course, there's costs associated with falls. If you don't feel steady, you need somebody else to climb up on the roof or somebody else to do things for you. You may need devices. You may have less ability to access your place of work. Falls can also really be a pivotal event, a tipping point, literally, in people's lives between feeling that they can be safe at home alone or safe with their family or really need more help. So they can be an indicator of needing a change in how much assistance you get. So how do we as physicians, as physical therapists, as researchers, come to know what's going on with people's balance, people with MS? What we do, we sometimes ask questionnaires because you, the people who have the problems with balance, often know the best. We ask about how confident you are to do things. Are you frightened of falling? What do you do to prevent falls? Are you using a cane? Are you asking your doctor for help? Are you going to exercise classes? So we can understand better what you do and what else you may be able to do. And then we often ask, how many times have you fallen in the past? What do you remember about your falls? If we try to get a more accurate picture of falls, we'll ask for falls every day. So we'll give you a little calendar and say, how many times did you fall each day for a number of months? To more closely assess people's balance, we can do a lot of things in the clinic. There are some simple clinical tests where we'll ask you maybe to walk, stand with your eyes closed, stand on one foot, stand on a piece of foam like a cushion, and we can assess how well you can do all those different tasks. Those will give us an idea of how good your balance is. And a lot of those kinds of tests have been standardized. We know what you should be able to do, and then we can compare what you can do today and try to get you as good as we can. And then there's very technical ways to measure people's balance. We put people in something that looks a bit like a phone booth with a moving floor and moving walls. And we put you in a harness so you can't fall down. And we move either the walls or the floor and see how well you can keep your balance in response to those strange disturbances. So with all those ways to look at falls and balance, what do we know? We know that most people with MS, if we ask them, have problems with their balance and fall. Well, they say that over 70% of patients with MS identify difficulty with balance as limiting their mobility, as interfering with what they can do. And if we test carefully enough, particularly with this sort of high-tech equipment, we can detect problems with balance in people with MS throughout all stages of disability, sometimes even before you or your doctor know it. It may not be very obvious, but if we look very closely, we find it a lot. Research on balance in MS has been going on for about the last 10 years, and it's been done across the world. In Germany, when they looked at people with neurologic complaints, about a third of people with MS had fallen in the last year. A similar study in Italy found about a third good to a half had had falls in the last few months. Depends how many falls you're looking for. Similarly, when we've looked in the United States, about half of the people with MS had fallen in the last 6 months. Similar studies in Sweden, and now we're looking at that here in the Northwest. In a study that I'm in the middle of right now, we've looked at about 60 people with MS, and over half of them had fallen in the last couple of months, and about 10% of them had fallen 10 or more times in the last year. The falls are a really big problem. How many people with MS fall? Lots. Half to three quarters, depending on how you ask, how many falls you're requiring, and how long you look. But most people with MS do fall. I wonder, do you fall? Have you been injured by a fall? And we're going to focus on what can be done. But before we move on to that, be happy to take any questions that we have already. So if we can be helped by our operator to take questions, that would be great.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the number one key on your phone. Again, to ask a question at this time, please press the number one key on your phone now. Our first question will come from Leslie. Please go ahead.
I'm questioning the new drug. I don't know the name of it, of if it interacts with other medications, or do a lot of people use it, the new drug that's come out for balance issues?
Okay. I can somewhat answer that question. You're asking, I think, about the new drug Ampira. I presume that that's the right one, also known as dalfampridine. It's actually been approved to improve walking in people with MS, not particularly balance, and we don't know what effects it has on balance. So just to separate those out, it was shown to help about a third of people walk about 25% faster, but they haven't seen what it does to balance. It doesn't interact with other medications. It shouldn't be used in people with seizures or with kidney problems. So I hope that helps.
Our next question will come from Judy. Please go ahead.
I had attended an MS workshop, and they said that if you, even if you don't fall to the floor, if you start to fall and catch yourself, that that's considered a fall. It doesn't sound like it's the same definition on yours.
Sure. Hi, Judy. So, yes, that's exactly. People do define fall somewhat differently at times. If you start to fall and catch yourself, but don't actually go down at all, we call that a near fall. And many studies do look at near falls as being risk factors for future falls. If you do come down and you end up landing somewhere lower but not the floor, we count that as a fall. But exactly, studies can use slightly different definitions, and certainly if somebody's working with you, they may want to know about near falls. So you tripped, but you caught yourself, as something that tells us how likely you are to fall in the future. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Regina. Please go ahead, Regina.
Doctor, is there anything, any medication right now that will prevent the falling? I notice that I have vertigo, and I don't fall, but my balance is not the best. Is there anything that I can take to kind of, I don't know, alleviate that?
Okay. Hi, Regina. So there are no medicines that have been shown to prevent falls. We will talk about some other things that people can do to reduce their risk of falls. And note, I do say reduce the risk. I can't be sure none will happen, but to make them less likely. So we'll give you some good suggestions for that as we keep going. When you speak about vertigo, sometimes that means you're unsteady on your feet. For many people, that means their head is spinning and they feel dizzy in that way. If that's the case, occasionally there are some solutions to that that have to do with somebody doing some positioning maneuvers on you to put the crystals in your ears back where they ought to be. So that's something that's worth asking your doctor about and possibly going to either a physical therapist, sometimes an audiologist, or an ear, nose, and throat person to check if you have some problem in your inner ear that's making you spinny, that's got nothing to do with your MS. Thanks.
Our next question will come from Robert. Please go ahead.
Hi, Doc. 4 or 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with primary progressive MS, and I was doing okay, except for my right leg all of a sudden became very stiff, and I use a walker now, which I never did before. But the last year, I've had some falls where I've been in the hospital about 2 or 3 times. I have, at times, I have cellulitis. And this last time I had a fall, which really scares me, is I slid off the recliner, a leather recliner that I have. And the funny thing, this is the first time it ever happened to me, I was on the floor, and I just couldn't get up. I was so weak, I had to dial 911 for the fire department just for someone to pick me up. I had no strength at all, and that really scared me. And I don't know why. It was the first time, and I've fallen before, but that was the first time I was trying to crawl to my walker. I couldn't even do it. And
Robert, that sounds pretty rough. Well, certainly at the very end of the presentation today, I'm going to go through some ideas about how people can get up. One thought that I have is if you were getting that weak and if you've been having the cellulitis, maybe you needed to get into your doctor a little quicker to go take care of it. But we will give you some suggestions about ways to get up that usually people can do. So I hope that that helps you. And I'll take one more question and then we'll move on.
Here, our final question will come from Karen. Please go ahead.
Yes, doctor. I was calling. Hello, first of all.
Hi.
Hi. I was calling because, don't get me wrong, I do have bad balance, but most of my falls are coming from my drop foot because my foot won't raise up. So I was wanting to know, is there anything that can help with that? Like, should I massage my ankle or should I, you know, I'm going to therapy now. I just started it last week, another one, which is really, I really like it. And she said, well, actually, she said, you can't raise your leg up because for some reason when I fell some olive oil, this all started from a simple fall, some olive oil, and I've never been the same since. And I can't even, like, you know, I'm used to exercising, and I can't really pull my leg up, my left leg. And she said, well, that's because your hip flexor. She said, you know, everything's connected. My hip flexor is coming down to my quad muscle. But mainly my falls are coming from my drop foot.
Okay, yeah, we have good things for drop foot. So, Karen, very interesting. A little tricky because I obviously don't see you right here, and you may feel like your falls are coming from your drop foot. The physical therapist can help you figure out how much of it's the drop foot and how much of it's the weakness in the rest of your leg. But if everyone has some agreement that it's the drop foot, there are a couple of really good things that can be done for that. One is a brace. So they can put a plastic, or now they make much lighter weight black ones, carbon fiber, that goes behind your leg and under your foot that will help to keep your foot up. And those are generally covered by people's insurance. So that's the first option. The other thing that some people do is they use an electrical device that actually stimulates the muscle in their leg to lift their foot up every time they lift their take a step. Those are a little tricky to work with, but can work really well and give people some nice independence. They can be a little pricey, though, and it can be a little tricky to get your insurance to cover it. But certainly worth speaking to an orthotist, prosthetist, or a brace person about what kind of options there might be for bracing your foot. So I hope that's of help. Okay, and I think we'll move on. I think I can just keep going. So as we hear now, people here in the Northwest fall quite frequently for all sorts of different reasons. as we try to understand why people fall, the earliest research that was done was back in really the 80s, not in people with MS, but in older people. And they found that a variety of things set those people up for falls. Problems with walking or movement, not surprising. Use of four or more medicines. We have not really found that in MS, partly because we haven't asked. And the research I'm doing is going to ask, at least look at, does taking a lot of medicines make people fall more? Unsafe footwear and foot problems likely to be affecting your risk for falling. So take a look at the shoes that you wear. High heels are not going to work well. Slip-ons are probably not going to work well with open backs. You'll do best with a shoe that fastens and is low and even and not too thick in the sole so you can have some feel of the ground. If you have vision problems, that seems to set people up for falls. And then what we call environmental hazards, so things out in the world, and we'll talk a bit about those. We know that in the elderly, we can reduce fall risk by about a third by reducing these risk factors, by reducing people's medicines, getting them good shoes, optimizing their vision, helping their environment. So those are all things that don't mean you have to get better. So if we can't fix your MS today, we can still do things to help you with your falls, like changing the world around you. What do we know from people with MS? So we've been looking at this for about the last 10 years, and again, around the world, three different studies have been published. They don't find exactly the same things as risk factors for falls in people with MS, but very similar things. They all find that people have trouble walking, often have trouble with falls, and they find that people who use a cane or any kind of assistive device tend to have more trouble with falls, which is, I don't think it's that those things make you fall, it's just what is the first thing your doctor does when they hear that you fall a lot, and what's the first thing you're likely to do? Go get a cane or a walker. And it helps to some extent, but not completely. There's some suggestions that spasticity can increase your risk for falls. And if you don't feel the floor well, that can affect your risk for falls. If your MS is worse or not, not clearly associated. How long you've had MS, not clearly associated. Doesn't matter how old you are within the range. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. All of those things probably don't affect things. But whether you're using a device, how well you walk, probably does affect your risk for falling. What kinds of things underlie this then? So we know you're using something, which is probably because you know you've balance problems, you're having trouble walking. From the look at intrinsic factors, things about you, for most people, we think it's trouble with feeling where their feet are on the floor quickly enough to respond if they get thrown off their balance, either by somebody pushing them, the surface changes, they don't see well, they just don't feel the floor fast enough to do something about it. One of the other things that may contribute is just how quickly you can think about what to do, and so you just don't move your brain fast enough to deal with the situation. Sure, for a few people, it's problems with strength or spasticity or coordination, but mostly it's a problem with the feeling. Can you feel where your feet are? And that's probably the biggest intrinsic factor. Also, a physical factor. Also, sometimes the medicines you're taking, particularly if you're falling at night or after taking medicines that make you sleepy, those can make you more likely to fall. And somebody should take a look at that and see if that's really, on balance, the best option for you. Things outside in the world, extrinsic factors, social factors, lifestyle, and what's going on outside. So let's take a close look at what you can do to reduce your risk of falls about you. The first thing that can be really helpful is to really have a thorough evaluation. Our last caller said she was just starting to see a physical therapist, and I have to admit I'm a little biased having being a physical therapist before I was a doctor, but I really think they are often the best people to really take a look at what, for you individually, is setting you up for risk, what can we fix with different kinds of solutions. And those solutions may be a cane or a walking stick, but let somebody be sure it's the right thing for you, the right device. It's set up the right way. Is it the right height for you? Is it, and do you know how to use it so that it's working for you? Does it have the right tip on it so it won't slip? Do you know how to use it going up and down stairs? And you may find that you need different devices at different times. When you're more tired at the end of the day, you may need more support. When it's bright out early in the day, it's cool, you may need much less support. But to be able to have those different things around, and also to recognize that a walker will give you support and help you not fall. What a cane or a stick does, it's mostly give you feeling about where the floor is, which is often the biggest problem people have. And often you will find that any kind of stick, even those hiking poles, a couple of hiking poles, will really help your balance and help you fall less because they tell you more about where the floor is, where is the ground. You're using it a lot like a blind person might use a cane, to tell them what's going on in the world, not to prop you up. If you're needing something to prop you up a lot, you might want to think of something more than a cane. So devices, one option. Another option, and these may all go together, are exercises, specifically exercises to improve your balance. Physical therapists may help you with specific balance training. You could go to a community class like a Tai Chi class. What you want to do is do things that are safe, but a little bit challenging, and ideally exercises where you're upright, where you are standing, because practicing standing and practicing moving in standing will help you, your standing, get better. I do know a lot of people do yoga, and that may help you feel better, but unless you're actually standing up, it may not help your standing balance as much as some other standing exercises. And hopefully if you do go to therapy or go to any of these classes, they're going to give you things to do alone at home, because practicing balance is really going to make you better at it. And then take a look at some of the other problems that may be contributing. Robert was talking about his cellulitis. Do you have some infection that really needs treatment, that's really making everything work less well? Do you have trouble with your vision that can be corrected with glasses? Do you have weakness that could be improved with exercise and strengthening? We do know that people with MS can get stronger if they exercise with weights to some degree. Do you have a lot of spasticity? We have a lot of medications, and stretching with that may help too, that can help reduce that spasticity and help you have better control of your muscles. You do want to be a little careful with medicines for spasticity. If you take too much, your muscles can get a little too floppy, and then you may have more trouble walking. And then last but not least is, do you have trouble with your bladder? If you're getting up 4 or 5 times a night, that may be when you're falling, if you're having to rush to the bathroom. If you're having to get somewhere fast and get there in the dark, then those may be issues that can be treated directly and indirectly help your risk for falling. So to summarize, get a good evaluation. Really figure out what's going on with your balance. Once we've gone there, probably some combination of devices if you need them, exercises to get you better at balance, and then take a look at other things that may be contributing, your vision, your strength, spasticity, bladder issues. A lady with vertigo might have some inner ear thing. Many things that might be fixable and help reduce your risk of falling. So what I'll do now again is take a few more questions before we go into things about modifying your environment and how to get up from a fall afterwards. If our operator will help, and we'll get some more questions.
Okay, again, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the number 1 key on your phone now. Again, to ask a question, please press the number 1. Our first question will come from Kenneth. Please go ahead.
Yes. Before I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, the neurologist, he wrote some on some paper he had. It's called demyelination. And I'm saying to myself now, does demyelination might affect me with falling and stuff like that? What is demyelination?
Sure. Hey, Kenneth. So I'll tell you what demyelination is, and that'll help us get to the answer. So it'll take us a little backtracking. So your nervous system, your brain, your spinal cord, and all your nerves are made up of these nerve cells covered in what we call myelin, which is the insulation on your nerves. What MS does is damage that insulation, that myelin, in your nerves, in your brain, and your spinal cord. And so that's why MS is called a demyelinating disease. It's a disease that damages that myelin. And we think that that demyelination probably does contribute to why people have with MS have balance problems, particularly demyelination of the spinal cord. Because when your nerves don't have myelin, they don't conduct as quickly. Myelin helps them conduct fast, take the myelin away, and the conduction is slower. What does your spinal cord conduct? It conducts information to and from your legs, up and down to your brain. So if you don't get information from your feet about where they are quickly enough through your spinal cord up to your brain to respond to it, that can set you up for balance problems. So you are right on. It's that demyelination that's really causing some of the troubles with your balance. But that demyelination is being caused by the MS. So I hope that helps you, Kenneth. Let's take our next question.
Our next question will come from Chris. Please go ahead, Chris.
Hello, doctor, and thank you for sharing with us. I've had MS for about 35 years, and I've had physical therapy. And at this point, I use a walker. I have found that I have done a lot of balance exercises, and that afternoon, my balance improves greatly. However, I don't seem to have any memory for balance in my brain, and I was wondering if you could speak to me about that, because the next morning I wake up, and it's back to where it was prior to my exercising.
Interesting, Chris. I don't have a lot to say about that other than to think of, I wonder if you did your little bits of exercises more frequently, if you might at least get that carryover to last. Because we can't remyelinate your nervous system, but a lot of it's about frequent practice. And so if you're doing your exercises, let's say, once or twice a week, it may just not stick. And for many people, they may even need to do them two or three times a day, even if it's just for 5 minutes, to keep up that practice and maintain the benefits of them. So I'm thinking that might be helpful, is do a little less, a little more often, and see if that can keep you going over time.
Our next question will come from Sherry. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Hi, doctor. You mentioned on balance a few minutes ago about opened heel shoes. The thing is, I need to wear these because my feet burn if I wear tennis shoes. So what would I do in that case? I don't want my feet to burn, but I also don't want my balance to be off.
So, Sherry, I wonder if you've tried something that's maybe a little lighter, like a light slipper that would stay on, like a little Chinese slipper or something. I will ask to hear back. I know they usually mute the line. Do your feet burn because of the shoes being so tight?
I don't think so. I think it's the MS. I've never had the issue before. Once I switched to open-heel sandals, it was fine. But then I hear you right now saying open-toed sandals may not be so good for balance.
Oh. Good that we clarified that. So open toes are really not a problem. What I don't like is shoes that are flopping around, so not held on at the back. So you can wear an open-toe sandal, but you want it so that it actually stays on you. You don't want a shoe that can just kind of flip and fall off, so clogs or something like that. But open toes are fine. I wouldn't worry about that. So I hope that's helpful and helped to clarify. Right, open back with no strap is the problem.
Our next question will come from Leslie. Please go ahead, Leslie.
Hi, Doctor. Thank you for doing this. My question is a quadruple tip better? I use a cane now for my balance. Would a quadruple tip be better, or would the single tip be better on a cane for balance issues, or does it matter?
Hi, Leslie. Thanks for asking. So I'll give you a general answer. I'll give you two levels of general answer. The first general answer is always that nasty answer of it depends. So somebody should really look at you walking and see which you do better with. But in general, the single-tip cane is actually better than the four-tip cane, because what you're trying to do is feel where the ground is, and it's a little hard to do with those four tips. If you're actually needing something to prop you up, you probably need more than a cane. The only big advantage of the four-tip cane is when you let it go, it doesn't fall over itself. And I think a better solution to that is to get a little strap that goes around your wrist to keep hang on to your cane so it isn't on the ground if you let go of it. Okay? And we'll take one more question.
Okay, our last question will come from Larry. Please go ahead, Larry.
Yes, I had a question. When I was first diagnosed, oh heavens, 33 years ago, the doctor prescribed baclofen to improve my gait.
And your question is?
Does that help with balance at all?
Good question. Okay. So baclofen is a medicine that reduces spasticity, so tightness in your muscles. And so sometimes it helps and sometimes it actually makes people worse. If what the problem with your balance is your muscles are really tight and your feet are either coming too close together, you're tripping one over the other, or your feet are crossing, you can't straighten your legs out, baclofen can help. The downside of baclofen is it can make your muscles a little too loose, and actually for some people makes them wobbly and makes them fall over more. And so it's a little bit of trial and error and looking at why are you individually having trouble with your balance. It may have been that early on you were having spasticity that was interfering with your gait, and then it would be helpful. All right. And thanks so much for all these great questions. I'm sure that I hope the answers are helpful, and I'm sure that they're of interest to both of specific people who called in with them, and to many other people who are on this call. I hear that we have close to 200 people, so lots of you really interested in this, I know, very big problem. So the last thing I'm going to speak about is things that you can do about your environment to help you reduce your risk of falls, and then we'll look at how to get up from a fall. The first thing that we've talked about already a little bit is good shoes. So shoes that stay on, shoes that don't either have no heel or a low heel, and shoes with which you can, to some degree, feel the ground through them. So you don't want those big, thick soles. So that's the first thing, is take a look at your shoes, and as I was saying to our caller, it's fine if they're open in the front or open at the sides. They don't have to be closed, but just that they stay on your feet. Try to take a look around your house, where you're living, and look at things that might trip you over. Often, making some changes at home can make a big difference. The things that usually set people up for trips are throw rugs, changes in surface. So if you've got going from rugs to linoleum to back and forth, that can be an issue. Any cords, do you have telephone wires or other wires running through the middle of the room? I hate to say this last one because I'm a big animal fan, but if you've got a little tiny dog that's running around underfoot, that can sometimes be an issue. Maybe you can train them a little better or have them not get in your way. But the biggest things are usually rugs and cords that people trip over, and trying to minimize those, or just having too much furniture in a room. You do really want a little bit of space. It's fine that you might want some things to hold on to, but if you've got lots of little bits and pieces and the trash can and the briefcase on the floor and all sorts of things that you can trip over, those can really set people up. So try to get a little help and clear them out of the way so that the world is as smooth and as easygoing as it can be. The next thing to do about your world is to really take a look at the lighting. Because how do we control our balance? We use a combination of our inner ear. We talked a little bit about that. We use our feeling from our feet, and we've talked about that. And we use our vision, our eyes. But if it's too dark, you can't use your eyes to help you. So you're losing one of those three pieces that help you keep your balance. So take a look. Do you have good lighting inside the home? Do you have night lights if you need to get up at night? Do you have good lighting outside your home? And then if you're looking both outside your home, outside your work environment, and if you're going out into the world, do you park your car somewhere where there's good lighting so that you'll be able to see? And keep in mind that if the lighting is poor, if you're somewhere where you can't see as well, you may need more help from other things. That may be when you need your cane. You need to take it a little slower because you need that combination. You need to be able to see. You need some feeling from your feet and some of your inner ear to all help you with your balance. The one other time when you don't have great vision is obviously when you close your eyes. So think about that when you're bathing. If you're someone who closes their eyes in the shower to wash their hair, you might want a stool in the shower that you can sit down or to hold on to something before you close your eyes, because you may find that that's when you lose your balance, is right as you lose that vision as that extra prop in keeping you up. And then the last thing that can really be helpful in your environment is rails, handrails. I really recommend putting up handrails by the stairs on both sides. Handrails in the shower and bath can be helpful, and handrails outside. And when we talk about the stairs, some people really find that even marking the edges of the stairs can be helpful if that's the place where you tend to find that you slip or trip. So to summarize the things about your environment, the world, your shoes, things you can trip over in your world, so wires, rugs, any other stuff around on the floor. Good lighting. Try to get good lighting inside and outside. Pay attention to that. And then put up rails in places where you're at most risk. So stairs in and outside the house. Showers, baths can really benefit from rails. Showers and baths are tricky because they're hard surfaces and you're often wet, and so that's set up for being slippery, for falling, and then if you're warm on top of it, that can be an issue. And then the last thing is rails outside. And then what to do if you fall. So there you are on the ground. The first thing is to really take a sort of check through and be sure that you're safe to get up. If you don't feel safe to get up, if you've got a phone call or call for help. But have you broken anything? You feel that you're not too dizzy, that you can safely get up. If that's the case, try to roll over onto all fours so that you're on hands and knees and crawl to a chair or a couch so that you're not trying to get up right from the floor to standing, but that you go to a sitting surface. Get to that chair, the couch, put your arms on the seat of that couch and push yourself up and then spin around to sit. You may even have to pull yourself up onto the couch and then turn. But really the most crucial things about getting up from a fall are check if you're okay, roll over onto your stomach side and then get up or onto your knees so you can get onto all fours get to a chair, a couch, somewhere where you can sit. Push yourself up with your hands so that you get up into sitting rather than trying to stand right up if you do fall down. So in conclusion, what have we learned tonight? We know that many people with MS have poor balance and fall, so if you're one of those people, you're not alone. The falls do cause a lot of problems. There are a lot of things that contribute to fall risk, but there are a lot of things that you can do, and we're trying to learn more about what you can do. What kind of strategies are effective? The first thing is a careful evaluation of what your personal fall risk factors are. We've heard from different people tonight, some people with some weakness, maybe some infection, maybe some dizziness. Different things can be setting you up, and we may have different solutions. Sometimes your medicines may be helping. Sometimes they may be causing more trouble than they're solving. So a good evaluation of why are you having trouble with balance. Often, good solutions will be exercises to help your balance get better, and you'll need to do those for a while, and you may need to keep doing them, to keep practicing them. Some devices to compensate. We talked about canes to help you get better feeling of where the floor is. Maybe a walker to help prop you up. And then even scooters, wheelchairs are all great ways to really get around and give you better access to the world in a safe way. To really see those as a way to enhance your mobility, to allow you to do things you may not be able to do otherwise. And then last but not least is to modify the world around you. Be sure it doesn't have too many trip hazards, that you can see where you're going, and that you have good handrails. And then we will take some last questions, but I was told by Carol that when you get your communication from the MS Society, they've actually just put together a great brochure on minimizing your risk of falls. And so if you call the National MS Society, they would send you that with some more suggestions of how to minimize your fall risk. So I'll take a last group of questions. Thanks.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the number one key on your phone. Again, to ask a question, please press the number one key on your phone now. Our first question will come from Bonnie. Please go ahead, Bonnie.
Hi, Doctor. I find that my falls have become different over the years. I was diagnosed 3.5 years ago, and but I had been walking around undiagnosed for 5 years before that. And I found that my falls were definitely caused by a weakness in my right leg that actually turned into paralysis, and that's how I was finally diagnosed. And now I find that I don't fall forward anymore, and my leg doesn't seem to be as big a concern, the strength of my leg, but I find that I fall backwards. For example, a few weeks ago, I opened up the refrigerator door and found myself on the floor. And I'm trying to figure out why my falls are different now than they used to be.
Sure. Great question, Bonnie. And that isn't that unusual. As MS affects different things, your falls may change. And so here you were with falls from weakness, which were a pretty obvious cause. And now you're going, so why am I falling backwards? And that we don't know for sure, but I think is exactly that issue of you don't exactly know where you are quickly enough to catch yourself. So here you are opening that refrigerator door, leaning back. And what your body needs to do when you lean back is get all the muscles in the front of it tight to hold you up. And they need to do it as fast as you're pulling back. And if they don't do it quickly enough, poof, you've fallen over. You've leaned back. The muscles in the front of you, your stomach muscles in particular, that were meant to stop you leaning too far back, didn't come in quickly enough. And so that is something that somebody can work with you on to do things. It takes some practice to learn to do things like put one foot in front of the other instead of your feet side by side so that you don't end up leaning as far backwards. so you don't have to try and catch yourself. But it may take some practice with some balance exercises. I recommend you definitely do them with some help, because we don't want you falling over trying to practice, that they, people can work with you. But that sounds really like a what we call a proprioceptive problem. I can't feel my feet quickly enough or my body quickly enough to compensate for leaning back. So that's a change. And let's take our next question.
Our next question will come from Nicole. Please go ahead, Nicole.
Hi. I feel like I almost get the sensation of imbalance when I'm in a crowded environment. Does that
absolutely.
I don't know if that coincides with MS, but I feel like I get the sensation more when I'm in, you know, an enclosed area, or if I'm in a big group, I just feel off balance instantly.
Yep, that fits very well with MS. And so right at the beginning, I sort of had mentioned something about this. So when we look at what we think affects people's balance, we think it's a combination of getting those messages up and down the spinal cord quickly enough to know where you are, and the ability to sort of put all those pieces of information together. And one of the things that happens in crowds is there's a whole lot more going on, a whole lot more information. And so I hear this a lot from people with MS, is I have more trouble in crowds, or even at the grocery store when there's all those visual stimuli, or cereal boxes on one side of the aisle and the Gatorade on the other side of the aisle, all that changing colors can really make it a lot more difficult. So the more that's going on at the same time, the harder it can be to control your balance. That can be something that you can work on and practice and start to gradually work with. How do I do with no distraction, and then add on little distractions and do some balance exercises to practice? Or it may be that if you don't see significant improvement, that's the time you might want to say, oh, if I know I'm going to be in a crowd or lots of things going on, that's when I want my devices, even if I don't need them when I'm alone or at home. Thanks. And we'll take the next question.
Our next question will come from Richard. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. You had mentioned the vertigo is caused by an inner ear problem.
It can be.
And can that also affect your vision?
No.
No, it's two separate, completely separate things.
Yep. So vertigo can be caused by your MS, but it can be caused by an inner ear problem. And your MS we can't fix yet today, but some of the inner ear problems we can, so it's worth separating. But that shouldn't affect your vision in any way. Okay? One more? Actually, we'll take a couple more questions.
Okay. Our next question will come from Suzanne. Please go ahead.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. I've had MS for 2003. I was diagnosed with primary progressive. I have a suggestion to tell people that will help with balance.
Great.
I have a personal trainer. I only see him once a week, but he does have physical therapy background. And what I use is a great big Swiss ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he has me sit on it, and he makes me just sit on it. My hands are on down to the side. He makes me sit up really tall, and then he kind of nudges me on my shoulders and pushes me and makes me sit, you know, try to get my balance. And that's really, really helped me a lot. And I also have a foot drop, so that's part of my problem too. When I lose my balance or get ready to fall, it's that foot drop. So now we're really concentrating on strengthening that ankle and making it more flexible. But my question is, I used to be a dancer. If you can believe it, I was a dancer for many, many years, and that's frustrating that I can't dance. But what I want to do is the Tai Chi, and I did try it a couple of times up at the Y, but it wasn't an MS group. It was a group of older people and just people that, you know, are a little slow and lost their balance just by age mostly. I'm fearful to try to do a Tai Chi class. because it's so slow. You know, the motions are so slow. You slide to one thing, and then your arm's going out. And I can relate to it because I did ballet, but I'm so afraid I'm going to fall.
Okay, good. All good points. A couple of things that you brought up. I'll chat a little bit about the exercises you're doing, which sound great, the sitting on the Swiss ball, and that's exactly working with somebody who can see what's going to be a challenge for you. For some people, it's going to be standing on foam or standing on one foot. For some people, it's going to be sitting in a chair. And for you, it's in between those, which is sitting on something, but something unsteady, and working on your balance. And really finding that point of challenge but safe. And I think that's exactly where you go now with this question about Tai Chi. And what you might want to do is go talk to the teacher and go, hey, here's what I can do. Is this class going to be safe for me? What they may suggest you do is do some of the movements in sitting, or to do them if you're in the corner of the room at the back so that you have a way to catch yourself, or not lift your foot up in some of the movements. So the one-footed movements may not be safe. The other thing to do is ask your personal trainer, who knows you the best, if that would be a safe thing for you to do. You could try and practice. You could get even a video of Tai Chi and see if that's a challenge but not too hard for you. And I think that really speaks to one of the biggest issues about personalizing your exercise is you don't want something so easy that it's not helping you, it's not making you do better. But you don't want something so hard that you either can't progress or that you fall. And that sweet spot is different, in a different place for each person. And if you're telling me that the sitting on the ball is really great, so that your personal trainer can probably give you a good sense of whether the Tai Chi is going to be the right sweet spot for you too. I hope that helps, and we'll take one more question.
Okay, our last question will come from Mona. Please go ahead, Mona.
Yes.
Hi, Mona.
Yeah, hi, how are you? I have a problem when I sit, like when I go to the dentist and I sit in a chair for a while, or when I get my hair done, I sit in a chair. And then when I get up, my balance is just awful. And I'm fine when I walk in, but someone usually has to walk with me, help me out of the chair, because my balance just gets so screwed up.
And you find that if you sit in any kind of chair, or just if they with your head?
Any chair. If I sit for a period of time, even when I go to the movies, and then when I get up, that's when my balance is really messed up. Eventually I'll get myself together, but I'm just moving from side to side. I have to have some assistance. And I'm not really that bad when I'm lying in bed. When I'm lying, I'm not sitting. And like sometimes when I have to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I'm fine then.
Huh. So from lying to standing, you do okay, but from sitting to standing doesn't work so well. Good, you're the last question, because you kind of got me a little stumped here. I'm not sure what's going on there. I mean, usually, if you're having trouble with your balance, are you feeling dizzy, or are you, your legs won't move?
No, I don't feel dizzy. It's just my balance.
Right. I don't know what's going on there. It could be that your legs get stiff when you're sitting and that getting them to work again is difficult. And then doing some moving your legs before you try to stand up may help. The other thing sometimes is it's a blood pressure issue, but it doesn't really sound like it, where if you stand up quickly, people get lightheaded. But I'm not hearing that you're lightheaded with your balance issue. But see if moving your legs before you then get up to walk helps. I would say if it doesn't clearly help, that's again one of those where let's get an evaluation and have someone take a look at exactly what's going on with that sitting to standing. That wouldn't be a hard thing to reproduce in the clinic if you went to physical therapy, where you'd sit for 10 minutes and then try to get up. They'd probably see it if you came early for your appointment and sat waiting in the waiting room, that when you got up you had more of a problem. But the most likely is, I think, that you just need to get your legs going again. So I would try to move them back and forth and see if that helps you get going. If it doesn't, I'd certainly want to get that checked out, see if someone else can figure it out, seeing you right there in front of them. So I really thank all of you for your very interesting questions and for calling in tonight. I really hope that this was helpful and that you'll call in again for the next call next month. And I thank the National MS Society Oregon Chapter for sponsoring this program. And I hope you all have a good evening. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your call. You may all disconnect at this time.